This is not going to be a pleasant experience. You're going to see and hear things that are not going to be very nice.
Experts divide serial killing into two general types, organized and disorganized. An organized killer brings everything he needs to complete the murder. A disorganized killer improvises.
Begin.
Listener discretion is advised.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week, we are talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her recent release from prison.
Candace, let's talk about a huge story that's out there right now. Gypsy Rose, who murdered her mother, has been released from prison after serving 7 years of her 10-year sentence. Let's start off talking about Dee Dee, the murder victim, Gypsy Rose's mother. Dee Dee abused Gypsy horribly for 23 years. Can you talk about the mental disorder Dee Dee was suffering from and how it affected her treatment of Gypsy?
Yes, it's a rather rare thing, Munchausen by proxy. What Munchausen means is you would say somebody has Munchausen syndrome if they hurt themselves to draw attention to themselves. And it can be quite severe. I've seen people in the emergency room that severely cut themselves for the purpose of getting attention. Munchausen by proxy is when that individual hurts someone else. The other person is their proxy. And where we frequently see it is mother-child relationships.
Most of the abuse that occurred was medical abuse. How does that give her mother any pleasure or satisfaction to watch her go through that?
Well, first of all, let me just say that is the most common type of abuse that we see in Munchausen by proxy cases, where the mother is deliberately making the child ill. I've even seen cases where when a child is admitted to the hospital, and of course the doctors do not know the mother is doing it, that when she visits the child, she does something when none of the nurses are around, such as putting something in their IV, horrible things like that. And the satisfaction is very, very odd. I'm thinking satisfaction by proxy. The mother, the offender, the abuser derives a bizarre sense of satisfaction that she is getting attention, that maybe the emergency room personnel or the nurses see her as a good mother because she's so devoted to her child and she's keeping an eye on everything about the child. And sometimes the mother may feel that she's being pitied or sympathy. She's getting sympathy from doctors and nurses. Oh, you're such a good mother. It's so unfortunate that your child is sick so much. And It's a lot of left turns, I would say, left turns and U-turns that somehow or other the abuser gets satisfaction from that.
Well, there was more abuse than just her mother. Gypsy also claims that Dee Dee's father, who is Gypsy's grandfather, sexually abused both of them.
I am not surprised that Dee Dee was abused by her father and then he started abusing his granddaughter, Gypsy. Incest, especially parent to child, which is usually father-daughter, tends to be generational. And the abuser goes for, let's say it's a male abuser, goes for any female in the family. And if it's a three-year-old toddler, well, she's the unlucky victim.
Most of the medical procedures, if not all, done on Gypsy were fake. And I read that she didn't know that until after she was arrested for her mother's murder.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
She reached out to her friend Nick, or her boyfriend, whatever, however you want to phrase it, who was also charged and convicted in Dee Dee's murder, because her mother was physically abusing her. She chained her to the bed and she cut off all communication that Gypsy had with the outside world. But if it's true, she did not know that she was being manipulated medically. That has got to be a huge F you to her, you know, like I'm trying not to say the word, but I mean, she had all of her teeth, the majority of her teeth pulled out.
Oh.
She's gone through surgeries.
Oh, it's horrible. I believe her when she says she did not know, because in every case I'm aware of where the abuser was caught and it was found out what happened, the child did not know. By the way, these mothers are usually also lovey-dovey. I love you. Oh, you don't want to go to school. School's not a good place for you. You're best staying here. Mommy will teach you how to add two and two, and mommy will teach you how to read. They don't want any outside influence on their victim. So it makes sense to me that she did not know until the police found out through the murder investigation what had happened. She's messed up. Can you imagine?
How could she not be?
Right, right. Just because people become aware of something doesn't mean they can shake off the effects of it, of that kind of abuse. If I was a prosecutor, I would certainly be voicing my opinion that there was enough evidence of longstanding Munchausen abuse, medical abuse, followed by a physical abuse by a really disturbed parent. And I do believe I would have argued for, we need to take a real close look at this and maybe get this person into therapy. This would be almost a case where the individual might need lifetime or on and off therapy throughout the rest of her life. On the other hand, murder can't be ignored. And she did manipulate this mentally challenged individual to kill her mother.
Yeah, it was premeditated.
Yeah, it was premeditated. You can't just look the other way on that.
She was only convicted of second-degree murder, and she was sentenced to 10 years. She only served 7 of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, her boyfriend, was convicted of first-degree murder, and he received a sentence of life in prison without the chance of parole. He's appealing that now, but so far all of his appeals have been rejected.
And they usually are. Well, I don't know all the details about the case. Of course, the boyfriend is the one that did the actual murder, took Dee Dee's life. Oftentimes, though, the ringleader, for lack of a better term, is also charged with first degree. Perhaps they didn't feel they had the evidence for first degree, but second degree was good enough. To only serve 7 years of a 10-year sentence, that's pretty good. It really is. Many states, second-degree murder is a mandatory minimum of 20 to 25 years.
Maybe they decided she'd suffered enough.
Could be, absolutely.
Nick is said to be intellectually disabled. In fact, in 2013, that's 2 years before the murder, he was arrested at a McDonald's for watching pornography for 9 hours and masturbating to it.
I wonder if somebody could let me know what McDonald's that was at, that he was sitting in a booth for 9 hours.
I know, why watching? 9 hours? Why not like calling after the first hour?
Right, I was going to say, tell me 30 minutes, but 9 hours? Yeah, this is not a well individual. To have the judgment, the poor judgment, to masturbate in public at a McDonald's while watching porn, I think that says a lot, doesn't it?
I wonder how much he really understood the ramifications of what he was doing. I mean, listen, he is guilty. He killed someone. He should absolutely be in jail. But I wonder, this life without a chance at parole, how that's going to benefit
him. Harsh,
yeah,
seems a little harsh, doesn't it? Seems a little harsh.
10 years.
Yeah, it does seem harsh. It could be one of those, you've heard me say it before, there are some things that fall under what I call the someone has to pay legal doctrine. And this could have been one of those things. I mean, her mother was mentally ill. Her mother abused her terribly. He was manipulated by someone much smarter than he was. And I can understand how it happened. It's a case where, gosh, if I was a judge looking at sentencing, this would be a real head scratcher. There's a lot of stuff going on. I was very surprised when I heard her sentence was reduced, well, 10 years. But like I said, there's things we don't know.
But there's a lot of things that are coming out now, because since she's been out of prison, she has a book that's coming out. She has social media. She was already filming her Lifetime show when she was incarcerated. And she already had interviews set up before she even got out. In fact, we have a clip of her talking to Deborah Roberts from ABC News. Let's listen.
Are you enjoying the attention?
Honestly, I'm a very shy person. I don't think that I'm doing anything that anybody else wouldn't do. I'm being myself.
In some ways, it might be better that she's doing this because she's getting ahead of the publicity train. She wants her version told. I mean, this story is not going to go away.
This is a jaw-dropping story. And now it's tremendous publicity, the documentary, the prison interviews. The press is going to eat this up. And so therefore, she's going to have trouble living in obscurity.
And I don't think she wants to live in obscurity.
It doesn't look like it. No, it doesn't.
No.
I hope in the book she's writing, her autobiography, her memoir, I hope there is something people can learn from, especially possible abusers and victims, that her experience can help others. That would be great.
That is her goal, she said, to be an advocate.
Well, that's not uncommon for somebody that has gone through hell and came out the other end. It helps motivate them to get up in the morning. It helps fight off the depression demons and all of those things that go along with it. I mean, we frequently hear of loved ones of a murder victim getting involved in all kinds of advocacy. And you think about it, it gives them something to fight for, something to live for when they have lost so much.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.